Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Then Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark of the covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river."
Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one for each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap, a great distance away, at a town called Adam, in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord.
I'll just say thank you very much to Pauline and to Helen for our reading. Let's have our second reading, which is courtesy of David Suchet, actor. And so he's going to read to us at great expense, 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 19. So let's just listen to that now.
2 Samuel chapter 6. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes.
Now let's just pray for Keith as he comes to speak to us. Let's just ask for the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that guides and leads us as we come to speak to the people. And we pray for Keith that you would fill him with your Spirit today as he delivers the message that you've given him, which was so appreciated at Alden. We ask, Lord, that we too would listen and that we would hear not just Keith's voice, but your voice, Lord, by your Spirit. So guide us and lead us today and touch Keith's mouth, his ears, his lips, as he speaks today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for being here this morning. You could be in many different places, I suppose, but it's really great to be with you. This sermon is a bit of an unusual one. You could say that most of my sermons are unusual. So perhaps that will be the same. But this one's more of a prophetic word. Now, I go to another church, as you know, Aldham, but also go to Kingsland Church. And, you know, I've got a bit of a prophetic gifting from there. So not from there, but you know what I mean. I use it perhaps a little bit more than I do at Aldham. But it's something that I've heard, and I really want to give that word to you. Now, I've had to obviously make it into a bit of a sermon, so I've put some structure around it. But it's been something that's been ringing in my ears for the last couple of weeks, really, since I knew that I was going to talk to you. And the two words are open up. Now, it's all very well having just two words, but where's the rest of it? And so I obviously asked the Lord for a bit more, and I believe he's given me some more words. So I've written them down. I would normally speak it out directly, but I've written them down, and then obviously I'll deliver that, and you'll hear it. Now, it's my responsibility to give the word. It's your responsibility to hear. And obviously, weigh it up, act upon it, do whatever you wish with it to some respect. But the authority of God is, I believe, behind it. But I will leave everything for you to weigh up and decide. So this word, open up. Now, I mean, it might have been something to do maybe with the lockdown being opened up slowly, but the Lord sort of carried on to say to me that I believe that we are on the cusp of a new era. A new normal that changes the way we, as the people of God act and do things for the kingdom. I mean, it's said that change is sometimes as good as a rest, but I'm not so sure. The old things that we have in our hands, I believe, we will have to lay them down, drop them, and purposefully pick up the new things that God is giving us as we move into this new landscape. You know, we've all seen false dawns before, isn't it? It's a bit like the English football team, you know, always wanting to win the World Cup, but they haven't done it since 1966. So, you know, you sort of think, well, okay, you know, it may happen one day. But I believe this word is something that has got some authority behind it. And I really believe that we need to listen and we need to think about how it applies to us. Now, this may all sound a bit odd. And I suppose that's what sometimes the prophetic can sound like. You know, what are you talking about, Keith? That's a good question, I think. But bear with me and we'll unpack it. You know, we have a tried and tested way of doing church, don't we? The way that we have done things is set out. It's all set out for us. And to move away from that would be dangerous, wouldn't it? How can we change, even if we wanted to? So let's look at the Bible. It's always a good place to go, isn't it? You know, there are many significant moments in the lives of God's people down through history that when things radically changed, a new way was opened up before them. Did they always take those opportunities? Well, no, they didn't really. But we, here and now, as God's people, we need to recognize the times that we are in and see the open way before us and walk along it, not holding back, not feeling discombobulated. That's a good word, isn't it? I always wanted to say that. But moving down the open road with purpose and vision. So I will briefly pick up, five stories from the Old Testament. Now, we've read two of them, and thanks for those readings. They were quite long, but they're beautiful, aren't they, really, in some respects. So, yes, these stories are really a reminder of what God can do when he opens up ways ahead of people. So the first story that God gave me was the great flood. Now, Noah might not have been able to hear the voice of God. The noise of the world would have been all around him, and perhaps he was deaf to God's voice. He could have just simply ignored it. You know, the ark, the boat that he made, well, it would not have been built. And when the waters came, where would mankind have been there? Maybe God had another plan, a backup plan. I don't know. Maybe it was Noah or nothing. It seems to be the situation. God opened up a way for mankind to survive his anger. But Noah had a big part to play. The flood cleansed the earth and set it aright. Something that God regretted that he had to do. So he gave Noah a sign in the sky, didn't he? That rainbow, that he would never flood the earth again. It's interesting, isn't it, with the NHS and their promise, you know, the rainbow, it's all to do with hope. And you know, it's amazing how the world links in with what was given in the Bible. So the second story. There was the Red Sea crossing in Exodus 14. We've read about the Jordan one. We'll talk about that a bit more later. But this is the Red Sea crossing. You know, an impossible thing had to happen, didn't it? You know the story. The Jews are up against an impenetrable barrier of water. But the thing is, where there is no way in the physical, God makes a way with the impossible. It says in Matthew, with God, all things are possible. So a miracle occurred, didn't it? An open, dry seabed for the Israelites to cross over, and then the destruction of Pharaoh's army. What a miracle. They were saved. The Red Sea was a barrier that had to be opened up from slavery to freedom. God's people were no longer slaves in Egypt, but now free to go to their God-given destiny. But God's people had to go, even with fear and trembling, an open road ahead of them, a new road where they had not gone before. The third story. Then there is the horrible and terrifying story of the Israelites wandering in the desert. The life, this nomadic life that God's people had, God didn't want that for his children. The open road should have been straight into Canaan, the land of promise. But because of fear and doubt, they refused to go in. 40 years were lost. 40 years. A generation of people died and did not see their promised land because of fear and disobedience. An open road before them, and they didn't take it. A stark warning, I believe, to us as God's people today. Then there is this story about the Jordan River. Thanks for the readings, by the way. They were brilliant. Again, they couldn't cross this barrier of water. But remember, this was a new generation. The Red Sea miracle was a memory only from a story of something that happened 40 years earlier. Surely God will make a way again, just like he did at the Red Sea. Well, yes, he did. God did do it again. And this time the Ark of the Covenant, the God box, the symbol of Yahweh's presence among his people, the Ark went into the river as the waters parted. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? Just as a note, Joshua and Caleb, they were the only ones from the generation before who were allowed to enter the promised land. Not even Moses made it into the promised land. So a wandering nomadic tribe changed into a nation. The Jewish people eventually settled in their land of promise. But it was 40 years too late. An open way was forward of them. A way was opened up, and they walked through to their promise and destiny. And then there's this wonderful story of the lost Ark of the Covenant. Now, this is not Noah's boat, by the way. This is an ark, a box, you know, with all the wonderful things in it that gave the presence of God into the Jewish nation. You know, the ark, as I've already said, was a very important symbol. The Israelites had to have it with them, but they lost it. Ah! There was a battle with the Philistines and they took it, but it's a real disaster. But it wasn't really so good for the Philistines either. They got sick when the God box was with them. So they handed it back to Abinadab, and he had it for about 20 years in his house. So David, he decided that he wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem to make a way for the ark to return, an open road back to Jerusalem. The journey was eventful, to say the least, with my Bible hero Obed-Edom taking center stage. What an amazing man. He got really blessed when the God box was in his house for 3 months. That's what can happen when God is with us, isn't it? Our house can be blessed and people around it can be blessed as well. But the ark was to be returned to the city of God, to its rightful place, and a new road was made. So David made it happen. Otherwise, the ark would still be down the road and not at Jerusalem. Now, these stories are all from the Old Testament, aren't they? The wonderful word of God. And you may say, well, all is well and good. But what does this mean to us today, at this moment? These stories are really ancient, aren't they? Can I remind you about the words I received? Open up. Now, these five stories show that ways were opened up for the purposes of God. Ways were opened up and were made by the providence of God. New ways for old ways. Even physical barriers, as well as spiritual ones, were miraculously opened up by God. But very importantly is what we've got to hear today. God's people had a vital role to play, to move into the open way that God has set before them. Now today, it's the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next week, it's Palm Sunday. You know, we may not have many palms to wave next week because we're not in church, but I think Ian's got one, so that's good. But perhaps we can wave our hands next week as we see Jesus coming into Jerusalem, not on a cart like the ark, not on a white stallion like a conquering king, but someone riding on a donkey, Jesus riding on a donkey, Jesus making a new way into Jerusalem. Now, there is a sense in the physical world that the UK is starting to open up again, isn't it? It's wonderful. Slowly, and we hope surely, life may come back to some degree of normality, or as similar to it as it can be. I am sure we would all want to see our lives to return from this closed down feeling to an open environment. You know, we may still have to wear face masks at times, and we don't really know how it's all going to pan out. But there's Easter coming, isn't there? And we're going to meet our families, we hope. So I believe that we are, as it were, on one side of the Red Sea or the River Jordan, and we are starting to see the waters start to part. What is it going to look like on the other side? So I also think that in the spiritual realm, that there is a new season coming. Some are even calling it a new era, where the people of God will be walking through the opening waters again and seeing a new landscape and a horizon ahead of it. Now, this can be quite disturbing for most people. People don't like change. There can even be fear and doubt. But I believe change is being thrust upon us. You know, I really do believe that we can't keep doing the same old things. Our old ways of doing church, even doing the same ministries. It all needs to be renewed for this new season. Old wineskins can't hold new wine. They will just burst and be useless. And I don't want to be useless for God. I am sure you don't either. So what is this new landscape and horizon going to look like? Well, I think that's a fair question. You know, in some ways, I don't think it's determined yet. The purposes of God are set for sure. Yes, I believe that. But how we get there is in some way of our own making, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have seen from the Old Testament stories that God's people had to move. Noah, Moses, Joshua, David, they all had a vital role to play. They had to move, or it would not have been done. So too, we have an integral part to play. So have we faith to cross the divide, to move away from the old paths to new roads with new maps and adventures to explore? You know, I really believe there is a distinct possibility that the church, the big C, could get stuck the wrong side of the river. We as God's people, the church, might not want to take the chance, or in other words, not take the faith step of stepping into God's open road ahead. Lord, I pray that there will be no wilderness wanderings for our church. The opportunity is immense, but failure would be immense as well. Now, people in general, and also our neighbours, the people we know have hunkered down not knowing what is going on over these last years. They have been fearful and desperate. There is a grief. There is distress with loved ones lost, jobs gone, finances destroyed. People dying not just from COVID, but from other treatable medical conditions. What a year it's been. But God's people have the answer to all of this. It has always had the answer, but no one is really listening. We, as God's people, have gone through all the same things as our neighbours, but we have a hope, a glorious hope, because we are safe and saved in the arms of Jesus. We have to give Jesus to others, don't we? But do we? We speak and teach ourselves rather than talk to others about Jesus. Let's be honest. Yes, our fellowship together is important, but it is us that needs to get the message of Jesus out to a more than hurting people. And now is the time. This is what part of this new landscape will be like. A church out there, not serving itself, but serving others. It has to, because if we miss it this time, in this new season of grace, now we will have failed. So how does this bed down with God's people right now? With us, the people who make up part of the small church, you guys at Mark's Tay and us at Alden. It's great that we're both together. I think it's great, sisters and brothers. I'm not sure what gender we are, but I believe we really need to consider and rethink the way that we do church. I do believe we cannot continue to stand or indeed sit behind stone walls. This stance has become more and more ineffective. It feels closed and dark to the outsider. You know, we might lighten it up with Christmas and Easter, have the best coffee in the area, have the best singing and the worship. But if this is all done behind stone walls, we are stone dead. You know, I believe the word open up needs not just to be heard, but acted upon. Now, you might feel uncomfortable about this, and in a way, I feel uncomfortable about this word. I don't want to feel that I'm having a go at the church at all with what's been happening in the past or even now, because I'm not having a go. But I do believe that this word open up is a call for God's people to hear and to act upon it. You know, I believe that we are at a threshold of a new thing, a new wave of God's Holy Spirit. It is something that the Holy Spirit has inspired that will change us and our world if we were just to let it. You know, Jesus opened up a new way to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, not as a conquering king, not even as a triumphant warrior, but as a servant king. A new way of doing it, pardon me. The expected Messiah was not the reality. It was Jesus, loving his heavenly Father and loving everyone else, even his enemies, and offering his life as a sacrifice for us, a new way of doing it. Can you get your head around that? God sacrificing himself for you and me. Why? Well, because he loves us and will continue to love us in eternity. This was a radical new way. Jesus stepping over a threshold into a new landscape, dying and being raised from the dead. He conquered death and became life for all of us. He became king of the world. What was of the old, it became new. Darkness was turned into light. So let us open up. You know, Easter is upon us. What an opportunity. What are you going to do about it? I feel we need to have the same expectation and urgency as Jesus did when he went through Passion Week. Even the same dreaded expectancy that Jesus led to the cross. And then the joyous and exuberant feelings of ecstasy when the resurrection comes, old life to new life. So I really hope that this has made some sense to you all. Please ask the Holy Spirit and wait for his voice to speak to you. Please weigh these words, and if any don't ring true, then forget them and forgive me. But I would urge you to speak to our Father, and as we move forward together with our Father into this new landscape, that we won't be terrified like the Israelites in the desert, but be like Caleb and Joshua, who were not afraid to go in and take the open road and take the land that God had promised them. You know, we need to see with our spiritual eyes where we are going. We need to hear with our spiritual ears where God is calling us to. We need to be free and mobile to make the changes that are needed for this new season. We need wisdom from our Father as our local church leadership and PCCs, even the diocese and the wider church, look and see where the way is that God is calling them to. If we don't do it, as the people of God, then who will? all for the glory of God. Amen.